When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're visiting a beetle spit village next to a chicken piddle lake on a donkey dung island. You can bet we're gonna swear.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today, we're reading Chapter 20 of Melting Stones.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
Let's fist fight the ocean. This chapter is named The Sea. So in the beginning, Evie is going down in the ocean. They're a couple of miles out from shore. And after a certain point, there's less rock, more ocean, and the ocean's like, hey, I see you down there, you bitch. You little bitch. You're down there, you little worm. You're not a rock, but you smell like a rock. I smell rock in here. It smells like bitch down there. And so the ocean's just spitting shit at Evie, and Evie's like, will you shut up? You're so annoying. But yeah, the ocean's like straight up saying, oh, I'm going to like literally grind you to dust, and you'll never touch a rock again. And I'm afraid of the ocean now. So they're going. Carnelian and Blair eventually kind of wake Evie up because she's like slowing down, trying to deal with this immense pressure from both the rock and the ocean down there. And they're like, why are you slowing down? And Evie's like, don't worry about it. We're heading in the right direction. Let's keep going. But they're getting restless. All the spirits are whining and complaining. Evie knows they're whining and complaining, even though she actually doesn't speak lava language, but some things are universal. So they keep going. The ocean's still yelling at them. They're getting mad. They start trying to push out of the wrong fault. Evie just keeps coaxing them to come on. It's easier this way. You guys are doing it the hard way. I don't know why you keep not listening to me. And they're like, I think you're lying. And Evie's like, no, I'm not lying. I told you it's easy, but we have to travel a bit, and you guys are being so annoying, not listening to me.
I'm not lying, she said. Lying.
I'm not lying, Evie lied.
Literally. Eventually, all the volcano spirits get tired of her, and they're like, we're just going to pop out here, and they start pushing, and like the fault lines start moving, and Evie's like, you know what, fuck it, I tried, I'm done, I'm leaving. I'm going back to my friends. Goodbye. And then she magics her way back to the surface.
Where she gets punched in the face because Miriam has decided to go back to find a rock that she thinks Evie will like and hopes that Evie will like her again because of said cool rock.
Yep. So Nori slaps the shit out of her twice and then punches her in the eye. And Evie's like, oh, I kind of deserve this. I feel bad. You know, obviously, if you leave a child alone on an island right next to a volcano, that child's not going to have a good time.
Yeah, nope.
How was that summary? Was that?
That was beautiful.
Perfect.
Thanks.
That's great. I don't remember reading the ocean calling Evie a bitch, but hey.
I think
it's
spirit.
Context.
Context, yeah.
Context clues.
Yeah.
You don't have to call someone a bitch. A bitch, you can imply they are.
Yeah, I like bitch too. Compared to small silvery worm.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
just me. Yeah.
Well, you know, Tamara Pierce may have written bitch if it was just for adults. Who knows?
I mean, she did already, so she already used her bitch limit.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
That's
one
right.
per series.
That was one.
That was so well placed too.
It really was.
Yeah. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like in the chapter. Tell me, Indy's big the face.
There's quite a few things I didn't like.
Well, do you want to go first?
Sure, why the fuck not? We've already kind of talked about, like, already, we've already talked about how mean the sea is being. There's a lot there. A lot to choose from.
I just wrote, the sea is creepy.
It is. It is. Evie's response of, don't you ever tire of the sound of your own voice? I wish I could say that to people.
Yeah.
I wish I could say that to Guest and get away with it. Because I fucking would.
Yeah.
And then the other real big dislike is Miriam's God.
Yeah.
And like, it is all Evie's fault.
It is.
Like, yeah, there is no other person to blame here.
I cannot agree with that.
I mean, she's partly to blame, but I also feel like Oswin and Nori should have been watching her better.
It is just a tragic mistake. And it's not...
The way I look at it is she wasn't being well watched because there's literally so much going on.
I know. And
Oswin's got 12 others.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nori's trying to contain those as well, and it's hard to wrangle that. It's hurting cats, man. It's a lot of people, and it's not just the kids. There's a whole island of people evacuating right now.
Yeah.
But like, no, it's not all Evie's fault, but Evie is, I want to say, at least 75% to blame here.
Oh yeah, she's a majority of to blame, but yeah.
And because this is such a short fucking chapter, that's it. That's what I got.
Ending on a bright note.
I don't know if I like or dislike it. I guess it's dislike, but I hate the fact that the ocean is like as creepy as I always thought it was, but like verbally. And like, it's just like, I don't think negging is the right term, but it's just like, hey, you fucking suck. I'm gonna turn you into ground meat, little rock thing, and you'll never touch another rock again, and it's gonna be hilarious. Just give up, let me grind you up. And it's just like so like creepy and annoying. Creepy, annoying, like there's got to be a word for that, but it's just awful.
My question is would the sea act like that with Murtite?
Probably not.
I don't think so. I think it's probably because not. Of Evie's rock.
Rocks are horrible. I gotta kill them.
Yeah, I think it was Murtite. The sea would be like, hello, come be my friend. Or because the sea is so powerful, the sea might be the equivalent of like the melting rocks for Murtide, or like the tree for Briar.
We must absorb you. You are going to become one of us. We
that's
will
what, I, that's what I was thinking.
And maybe Murtide has to deal with that all the fucking time.
Oh God!
That's why he's crabby.
But I don't feel like he does, because at the beginning he made a wave. I don't know, the wave. I would be terrified of the ocean if I had to deal with that all the time. And he seems pretty chill in the water. If I was being bombarded by the ocean all the time, being like, I want to make you part of me, I'd be like avoiding the water. And he doesn't seem
Maybe
to be doing that, so.
it's more of a Hakuna Matata situation than a like Borg, I'm going to assimilate you situation. Maybe it's like, hey, we can all get along, like a very collectivist, like, but chill ocean instead of I'm going to grind you up into dust ocean because he's attuned with it. Maybe. I don't know. We'd have to ask him. And he's a fictional character, so it's hard.
So I guess we gotta ask Tamara Pierce if we get to talk to her again.
Yeah.
Dang it, we didn't have that question
I
prepared.
know we did not. But yeah, I'm sure it's not near as scary.
Yeah, probably not.
I can't emphasize, I literally highlighted every section where the ocean talks. It's just creepy. It's so
So
creepy.
creepy.
I also liked when all the lava spirits are complaining and just like I can just hear it just in the background while like she's trying to talk to Flare and Canoe, and they're like in the back, and it's like you don't know what they're saying, but she could tell they were annoyed.
Yeah.
And I love that's like so true. It doesn't matter if, you know, what race or language you're talking about. If someone's annoyed, you can tell
Yeah.
right after that. When Effie says, the only problem is a little travel and you start bleeding like sheep.
What
Carnelians.
is
Yeah. What's bleeding? Flair's like, what's sheep?
I felt like this was a pot meet kettle situation, though. So I feel like Evie is the same
Oh,
way.
yeah. Oh, yeah. In the very beginning, when they're trying to get to the island, they have to do a little traveling. And she's complaining and whining the whole time.
Yeah.
Very
But
true.
what sheep? Hilarious.
And you can really see her lack of patience, which I will come back to later. She like right after that, she's just like pathetic. Like, damn. Of course they don't know that they've been living on literally under a rock their entire lives. I don't know what to tell you.
Yes. Under several miles of rock, even.
I feel like if somebody ever asks me if I've been living under a rock, I'm going to be like, yes, under several miles of rock. I am a volcano spirit.
I am a mole person, thank you. I also like the realization that Evie has when the volcano spirits punch the fault line and the walls move, and it's like, huh, 2 inches there, 1 inch here. Oh yeah, that's a whole earthquake up top. Like just the magnitude of what's going on, and yeah, she's like, I need to get back. I'm gonna go. It's not working. And I also liked her understanding after meeting up back with Luvo and like embracing him spiritually, that her patience will need a lot of work.
I love that she says she wants to be Luvo someday.
Me too.
Don't we all?
Being a gummy bear, I don't know.
That's my new magic. Be Luvo.
It'd be hard to drive. That's all I'm
Yeah.
saying.
Yeah. Type on the computer. Clunk, 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 clunk. My
Reminds me of
job might be
that.
easier. It'd be easy to get people to shut up and listen to me.
Oh,
Yeah,
so
you can
true.
use your loud, boomy voice. Yeah. And I've
Everyone's
got a
here.
loud voice, but Luvo is so much louder. I could just listen. And then everybody's like, oh shit.
Oh no, Miss Polly! We're sorry. Please stop. We're listening.
Back to work.
I wrote, if you want something, you have to work for it. And I don't remember what exactly this is a reference to, but it's true.
I think it's that she's trying to lead them to the easier place, and they're like, no, we don't want to do it. And she's like,
She
you
was
start
tired of trying, yeah.
complaining.
If you want something, you have to work for
You
it.
gotta
Yeah.
work for it.
If you
Anyway.
want to save all your friends, you have to try really, really, really,
I
really
mean, that's
hard.
also true. Like, there's a lot of working for things going on in here.
Yes.
Oh, anything made of fire would have no patience, even if it was also made of stone. And then I wrote, Daja?
My thought was Indy?
because we had this conversation about Daja, about how typically in stories, people who are associated with fire are like
feisty, are easy to anger,
passionate and quick to anger, and like that's literally what the word fiery means, right? Mm-hmm. And then Daja
here.
What?
I said, could you stop calling me out here?
Oh, I thought I was calling myself out. Remember, I am Zuko and I need to get my honor back. My point is, brains. I mean, Daja, we've had this conversation about how, like, this is what fiery means. It means, like, quick to anger. And Daja is very patient, and she is the grounded one.
Mm-hmm.
And she is literally the anchor. So, and yet she's the fire person. And Frostpine's very similar. Like, Frostpine's also very chill. Frostpine and Uncle Iroh are kind of the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
Thought it was kind of funny that she's like, oh, anything made of fire would have no patience. And I was like, yeah, but the nostalgia. I will grind you and scour you to nothing. I never tire. Just needed a quote from the
so scene. So creepy.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite of the quotes from the sea. Just, whew. But also accurate. Like, that's what the sea does to rocks.
Yeah.
Rose Thorn tying Evie to her horse. Again.
Yes. Again.
I love that she mentions this has happened before. Like, and that's how she says it. She's like, I was tied to my horse again. So.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stuff about leaving the animals behind, so they're all trying to get on the ships and everybody's telling them they have to leave their animals behind. This reminded me a lot of Hurricane Katrina, because people seeking shelter often were not able to take their animals with them.
Yeah.
That's it. Ending on a high note.
Yay. A lot of mine have been taken. My first one is when Evie is trying to get Flare and Carnelian to get the volcano spirits to move again. And she's like, have you told them how amazing this new place is? Describing all the different things that's going to happen. And so Flare and Carnelian have to go to the spirits and be like, hey, this place is really cool. We should go there because we get to do all these things. And so they finally go again, but I just like the description of it. Like, we get to do all these cool things. When Evie starts going back to her body, she was trying to figure out how far away it was, and she's like, 4 miles as the goose flew. Don't we have a saying that's like, as the crow flies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, nice.
Yeah.
I love how she feels so safe with Luvo. She's like, if my magical body could have cried, I would have wept. I felt so safe in his heart. I was surrounded by his power. And she described him as like a dad, a good father, taking me into his depths. I'm like, something well, bad's going to happen to him.
She's never had a dad. So.
I know, and she has a gummy bear for a father. It's so sweet. So that just means that something terrible is going to happen in the last chapters, which makes me sad. We haven't had a good death yet, so something bad's going to happen. Yeah, exactly, yet. This might be, if nothing happens, it's going to be crazy. It'll be like the first book that nobody dies. What a twist.
Maybe a lot of people will die in the next book to make up for no one dying in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one's called Battle Magic, so I feel like there's a huge war, so...
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and then my last one is when Evie gets punched in the face. She deserved it.
Disagree.
I mean, she's being mean to little kids. She's being mean, and everyone kept trying to tell her, hey, you should probably fix this while you have a chance. I know you think it's not important because we're all probably going to die, but you should probably fix this. And she didn't listen, so she deserves to be punched in the face. Because... the little girl is, she's probably around Malia's age. And if someone was mean to my kid, and then my kid ran away back into a volcano because of this mean girl. Ooh, she's lucky all she got was punched in the face. So that's me, though.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
You gotta work for it. Yeah, you went ahead and took mine pretty early, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes and I realized that I didn't write down a theme. And I was like, you know, I didn't write down theme on any of this, but I feel like that would be my theme. So
there you go. My theme was fear. The ocean is scary. It keeps taunting Evie every step that she takes. Like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And she's so scared of it. And then she's got that on one side. And then on the other side, she has the volcano spirits and Carnelian and Flare trying to break through. And she's scared that they're going to try to break through. And so when she's not talking to them, she's got the ocean and then just both sides. And then saving grace to be like, everything's gonna be okay. It's nothing but fear. Fear on this side, fear on this side. Lots of
and fear. Then even when she comes back, everybody's afraid because of everyone's afraid for Miriam.
Yeah. Yeah.
My theme is patience or lack thereof, because it's like she knows everyone's life is on the line, but also she's not acting like it. She yeah. could be a little more patient, I suppose, especially when the life of people important to her are on the line. But
I think that's often when it's hardest to be patient, though.
Yeah. There's that much at risk.
I feel like I do have to ask you two, though. We've been making all these jokes about Oswin throwing children into a volcano. How do you feel now that Miriam has disappeared?
I would say it's about damn time. I knew a child would go into a volcano at some point.
I have more to say on that on the next chapter because I was a little mad at Oswin at the beginning of the chapter.
Fair. Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
The magic I found was I knew that I wanted to be Luvo someday. I don't know how, but I can strive to be more like him. He has so much patience, and he's always there for everyone she needs him. And we could all learn a lot from Luvo. Especially me, having kids. I'm not always patient with them, and I let them drive me crazy. And sometimes I can be a little short with them. And I need to have more patience like Luvo. And then again, I guess I could use my boomy voice on him, on my kids, because he does that as well. So I don't always have to be patient. I can use a boom voice on him.
Sometimes you gotta. Unpopular opinions time.
Let's go.
Feel very conflicted about Nori in this chapter. I feel like I understand where she's coming from, but I also feel that her actions are inappropriate. One of the things that I wrote was set the example because Nori has not been nice to Evie at all, like in the whole book. And this is before anything has happened. And like Evie says to Miriam, like, you are not my friend. And Nori has said to Evie earlier, I don't like you. And so part of me wants to say, you know, Nori, like, I don't want to say, like, I'm not trying to say that, like, it's Nori's fault. But I want her to realize that if she is running around telling 14-year-olds things like, I don't like you, then she needs to understand that those kind of things also have consequences. On some level, it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't completely surprised if the 14-year-old's gonna then be mean to the 6-year-old. So I wrote, set the example.
I feel like Evie would have been mean to the 6-year-old regardless of whether Nori would have been nice because of the upbringing that Evie has had. But
Nori isn't aware of that.
She isn't, but I don't feel like, I don't know.
I am going to interject here for one little thing. Nori's reaction is a reaction of fear. She's terrified.
Yeah.
And she's taking it out on the one person she knows she can take it out on.
Yeah.
So that fear comes from guilt. She stopped watching Miriam for 5 minutes and Miriam's gone.
Yeah.
So it is fear and guilt that drives Nori to react in this manner.
Yeah.
And these are normal responses to something like this. However, I do agree that, like, she could have been easier with Evie from the get-go. And I think that would have made this also a little bit more impactful if she acted this way. Because we're kind of stuck in this, oh, that's kind of just how Nori is. Nori's kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
But if she would have had more of a, like, you don't have to be nice to people that you don't like, but you have to be civil with them. And she has not been civil from the get-go. So, like, I do agree that, like, this could have been handled in a completely different manner. But also, as someone who has reacted a very similar way out of fear and out of guilt, I can't 100% like.
Right.
I think it depends on the situation. If it wasn't a matter of life and death, probably shouldn't react that way. If it was just like a normal everyday thing, fine. The girl could possibly die, and Evie is partly to blame for it. I don't know. I feel Nori is justified in her actions. Even if she wasn't nice to her the whole time, I still feel like she's justified, because I feel like Evie would have treated Miriam that way regardless of how she would have acted.
So I'm going to throw it back to the sea for a moment. So much malice. The sea had so much hate for anything that was not a part of it. Not to get on a soapbox here. That's kind of people. So let me set the scene for a moment. We had a certain country artist who ran off stage when someone fired a gun. Didn't say anything, didn't try and do anything. Said artist has a song called Try That in a Small Town. And do you want to know what it's like living in a town that has 843 people? What it's actually like in a small, small town of 843 people? We mind our business and we take care of our own. Everyone else, be damned. And I feel like I have a lot of that mindset. I don't like people that are not my people. Like, I like my people, but I don't fucking like anybody else. And you can take it even further back, is like, you have people who are bigoted. They don't like Black people because the color of their skin. They don't like gay people because of who they go to bed with, because that's not who they are and that's not their own. But instead of minding their fucking business, they get to be angry and hateful and just justify murdering these people because they hate anything that's not like them. I have been working on that. It's not that I don't like somebody because, you know, they're Hispanic or they're straight. Like, that doesn't fucking bother me. I don't like people who are shitty people. And I've been trying to not be that way. I told Molly, I told all of you, you guys heard this earlier, but I am trying to take people's comments as a place of ignorance, not maliciousness. And God damn, that's fucking hard. But yeah, there's two prongs to this. One, I see a lot of hate for anything that does not look like or act like you. And I am trying to be better than that.
Goodwin, do you have anything to add aside from this conversation?
I'm sure I did at some point, but it's gone now.
I'm sorry.
I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, so I
know nothing. That is a very small town.
Yeah, it's such a small town. Yeah. It's like the smallest town I've ever heard of.
Before that, I was born in Torrance, California, right next to LA in the ghetto.
Do you have a personal magic to share with us?
Oh, no, I got nothing. No, I didn't learn anything from this chapter other than to be patient.
Oh, sorry, legit.
I thought we were still talking about small towns we grew up in. I'm like, I cannot relate. I'm sorry.
I feel like we should let Goodwin just run his mouth more often.
Bad idea. Horrible idea.
Chapter 21 is called Panic. I'm sure that even if you hadn't read it, you could have easily guessed what that was about.
The volcano is about to explode.
And there's a small child wandering around on the island.
That too. I forgot about that.
We've had all of these conversations about Nori, and you're like, oh, that's right.
Oh, there's a 6-year-old
just like in the middle of the volcano.
Nobody needs to panic about that. That's all in Osmond's plan.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 21 of Melting Stones. Chapter 21, Panic. I was struggling to get free of my ropes when I heard Rosethorn say, "Hold still, Evie." My ropes were hemp, of course. At Rosethorn's command, they came untied. Azazé caught me before I fell off Spark. "Oswin isn't to know one of his children is missing," Azazé told me quietly. "Understand, girl. We can't go back for her, and Oswin has 12 others who need him. It's a sorrowful thing, but true. In the rush, he won't be able to count them. Not a word, or I swear you'll travel in the bilge, or not at all." She won't talk. Evie understands reality. Rosethorn looked as bleak as a slate. "We've been here before, haven't we, Evie?" I nodded and sat on the ground. Puffs of ash rose around me. We had been here before. I hadn't wanted to be in this position ever again. "We've work to do. Try to get yourself moving, girl." Azazé bustled off. "Murtide put our packs on that ship over there, the Brown Gull. Try to be aboard when the captain weighs anchor. For now, when you can walk, start helping to get some of these people seen to." Rosethorn looked at me. "Did you do it at least? Lead them away?" "I don't know." My voice cracked. Rosethorn passed a water bottle to me. I think I drank half of it. I sounded better when I spoke again. "I got them away, but only 3 miles out. I was exhausted. I couldn't drag them any further. They got bored. They're trying to smash their way through the ocean floor." I hung my head. "Maybe they'll stay there, or move on, or maybe they'll come back to the places they know." Rosethorn rested her hand on my head. "Evie, you were foolish to take on volcanoes in the first place. It was like wrestling with Luvo." I was going to cry. I just knew it. "Rosethorn, it's my fault Miriam ran away. I said mean things to her." "I know. She told Nori, who told me." Rosethorn's voice was quiet. If she condemned me, I didn't hear it. I couldn't look at her, so I couldn't see it in her face if she felt that way. "If she dies here, it'll be my fault," I said. "And you will have to learn to live with that, Evie," Rosethorn told me. "I never said the first steps on the road to becoming a destroyer wouldn't hurt. I would imagine it would bother you less over time."
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
This is called Don't Look Back, and it's written by a poet named Kay Ryan. "This is not a problem for the necklace. Fish cannot recklessly swivel their heads to check on their fry. No one expects this. They are torpedoes of disinterest, compact capsules that rely on the odds for survival, unfollowed by the exact and modest number of goslings the S-necked goose is, who, if she looks back, acknowledges losses, and if she does not, also loses."
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.